What's up, Clips fans? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler.
We're your hosts of Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yep.
We're back from a brief vacay. We're rested.
That was recuperated, a good time. I'm still not rested, but I'm here.
Yeah. anyways, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We do this 5 days a week. In case you didn't know,
Monday through Friday,
we got all the Clippers news you could ever want, maybe some more.
maybe too much Clippers news.
But today we're going to get into a couple of recaps. We got a recap of that loss to the Warriors, a recap of a sweet, sweet victory over the Spurs, really solid performance there from everybody. And then today is Monday, so we got our weekly segment, which is the Freshies, where we kind of talk about the fresh squad. I kind of want to dive into a little bit of a lineup of all young dudes who played against the Warriors. Stay tuned for that, the Young Bucks. All that and more coming up right about now.
So, yeah, the Clippers played the Warriors on Friday. We lost that game.
Oh, yeah.
112-94.
It'll happen.
It's going to happen against the Warriors.
It'll happen.
We were limping into this game.
Yeah.
I would say maybe team morale was perhaps at a season low.
Yeah.
Vibes were not good.
Vibes were not good either.
Some quick stats for you guys. We'll start with the Warriors. Steph had 28. Durant had 24 and 7. DeMarcus had 14. Who cares? For the Clippers, our guy Shea, player of the game.
Yeah. He was ESPN Fantasy's player of the game. He finished with 24, 3, and 5.
Yeah.
With three steals. Really solid performance just all around. He actually played 42 minutes, which I believe is his season high.
It's got to be.
and it kind of had me wondering before we even dive into this, is there an argument for more time needed?
More time than 42 minutes?
No, more time than, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, now that we got these injuries, I feel like we're going to be seeing a bunch of them.
Yeah.
So I think more time is needed. It shows he gets into a rhythm. He can just figure out the game more. It was great to see him get this many minutes against this good of a team.
Agreed. And he played nearly 40 minutes once again in that game against the Spurs. He did not have as good of a game. We'll unpack that a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that part of that was just due to an off shooting night. I think that he probably on an average night, maybe even slightly below average, he would have had probably 10 more points than he had in that game against the Spurs.
Yeah, Tobias had 28-9 for us. No one else had more than 6.
Yikes.
Bit of a top-heavy effort. This game was actually closer than the score kind of suggests. We're only down 1 at halftime.
Yeah.
And then just kind of let it slip away. This is where the Warriors kind of separate themselves from us in terms of talent and, I think, coaching.
Really. Yeah. So we were only outscored by 3 total points in the first quarter. We outscored them by 2 in the second.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were outscored by 8 and 9 in each of the following two quarters.
That's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm not that mad at any of that, especially just considering the personnel and the injuries.
Yeah. We lost turnovers 10 to 18. We lost points off of turnovers 28 to 9.
Yikes.
Which is big. We actually won rebounds. Could have done more in the paint. They had, it was pretty much even points in the paint, 42 to 44. But fast break points, we lost 12 to 17.
Yeah, the 3-point shooting was really just a big flaw in this one. Which,
for like both teams.
Yeah, which is definitely a little bit of an anomaly. We shot 16% from three.
That's going to be our lowest for a very long time.
Right? Yeah, and the Warriors didn't have a great outing either at only 24%. So, I mean, it definitely would have helped. It definitely would have tilted the game a little bit closer, but I don't think that that was like the sole difference for us not making it. It is alarming, I guess, to see, but it strikes me as more of an anomaly than an indication.
Yeah, there wasn't one thing you could really point to in this game.
Yeah.
It was just kind of, I mean, they got more talent than we do. You know, there were some positives. Shea had 0 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And then ended up with 24, which is awesome.
Which is really, really solid. We didn't move the ball that well.
I was kind of shocked by these stat numbers.
The assist numbers, we had 11 assists to their 31.
That's not how you win basketball games.
It's not how you win basketball games. I also do think that it just speaks to the Warriors' defense. They do a really good job of, kind of shutting down motion. Motion-oriented offenses, which we don't have like that strong of a system in place to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a team that's kind of that's like trained quite well to defend against something like that, it definitely makes it even more difficult.
Yeah, some kind of shocking numbers in this game. Gallo had 1 point.
Yeah. He did only play. Did he even play the full first quarter though?
I don't think so.
I can't remember, but I don't believe he did. He's He's got some back spasms.
Ooh. Which you have an interesting theory about we're going to get to in a couple minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In a bit, I got a take for you.
Trez only had 4 points.
Yeah.
Motley led the bench with 7.
Yeah.
Good to see Motley get some minutes in this one. He and Jerome each had 7.5.
Ty Wall had a really rough game.
Yeah, he did.
He was tied for the worst plus minus of the game. And I think that definitely affected his minutes in the game against the Spurs.
Yeah, I was bummed. He didn't play very much in that game.
Yeah, so he didn't get a whole lot of time, which, you know, we've talked about a little bit, but I think is a bummer, especially just for the younger guys, because they're going to have bad games, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
They're just going to have bad games.
I think Ty has a little harder time to deal with, too, because he doesn't have the kind of added cushion of being like, well, you were our first-round pick, so we're going to let you go a little bit more.
Absolutely.
He's a guy who's like, look, we matched your offer.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that there's any of those vibes in there. It's just it's harder for Ty to break free when he's perhaps in Doc's doghouse or something like that.
So with the recent slate of injuries, we're seeing a lot more prevalent kind of three-guard lineups.
Yeah.
The most used lineup in this Warriors game was actually a lineup of Shea, Patrick Beverley, Avery Bradley, Tobias Harris, and Montrezl Harrell, obviously, at the 5.
Like it.
They played 10 minutes, which, as I said, was more than any other lineup, and they finished with 21 points, 12 boards, only a single assisted field goal, which I think is more of just an indication of like how the defense was flowing that night versus them maybe not being able to
not
make plays
wanting,
to one another.
For sure.
And they shot 40% from the 3, but or from the field, but 0 from 3.
That's another like anomaly thing.
I think that one's a bit of an anomaly too. That I mean, that would be really worrisome. But I don't think that, especially with Tobias on that lineup, that those numbers are really anywhere near that. Lately, even Beverly has certainly been pretty capable of knocking down at least uncontested threes.
Yeah, and this lineup is actually what started the game against the Spurs.
Yeah,
we got the win from.
Yeah,
which is encouraging. I like this lineup. I think it's cool because you can kind of throw in. If you want a little bit more offense, you can throw in Ty Wall, maybe where Bradley is. I'd like to keep Beverly on there.
Definitely.
I don't know about starting it, though. I know Trez is great, and it's just the energy off the bench thing that I like from Trez.
100%. Yeah. I'm not 100% certain what's behind Gortat not being in this starting lineup. I'm not really entirely sure. But
drama, perhaps.
I'm curious to see how that progresses as the season goes on, especially while we are waiting the return of Lou Will and Gallo.
Yeah, the back spasms things kind of worries me. That's what Gortat had when we all kind of thought we were going to see some more Motley time.
Yeah.
Still haven't figured this out. I've asked this question a couple times on this podcast. Can back spasms just pop up?
Yes.
So there's just a thing that, like, it might come up again, well, it might not.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's, like, a high usage area for somebody who, like, shoots a lot and plays basketball, as well as just human beings in general. So,
Dr. Upton.
I don't know that there was, like, one specific contributing incident. I'm sure it's just general kind of high-level wear and tear combined with his, like, higher usage.
Mm-hmm. Has me a little worried.
It does have me a little worried, too. I actually have a take about Gallo's injury, which I will unpack later.
We'll get to that, too. And Lou's hamstring.
But you're
going to
want to stick around for that spicy one.
And Lou's hamstring kind of bothers me, too.
Yeah. Well, it's on the other leg, I believe, too.
Yeah. So it's like, great. Now they're both not at 100%.
Yeah. So that's definitely a problem.
All in all, I mean, it was a tough loss. I don't think a lot of us expected to win this game.
No.
It was cool to see Jerome just randomly get 7.5 minutes.
It was.
He shot 50%. Just good to see him get some time against a team like the Warriors. Like it's been hard because I tweeted a little bit about this. Like how Doc kind of, when he has to make adjustments, he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that was something that was really interesting I thought about this game is like that starting lineup that we mentioned earlier, the three-guard lineup, played, like I said, around 10 minutes. But there were about 4 lineups that all played around 4 to 5 minutes, which is kind of like more what I'd like to see is like
those shift changes.
Yeah, it's like the starters or the, you know, whatever you want to call it, the main starting lineup, unless it's particularly effective, I mean, probably limiting that time to 10 to 12 minutes and then getting a little bit more just shifting players in and out. And even if that means that, say, 3 of the starters still stay on the floor,
yeah,
that, you know, we're getting to move pieces around them. I think that it both, like, keeps the defense thinking. It gives those guys experience, which is much needed. And also it just it gives us a better, like, little bit of a litmus test for how all of these, like, very unique pieces can all fit together or cannot fit together,
yeah,
to be quite honest. And then I just had one last thing on this.
Yeah.
I got a little idea for you.
What's this idea?
I think that it would be a great move for the Warriors to flip Boogie at the trade deadline.
To who?
So I think, to me, the Lakers are the most likely recipient.
Damn. They got a lot of stuff to give.
They have a lot of stuff to give. I could also see...
he's expiring too, right?
Yeah, I think it's a single deal.
It's a single deal. He's going to get a bigger contract next year.
Yeah.
But if he's playing well, he looked good in this game.
He looked good. I mean, 14 first game back from a torn Achilles is a strong showing. Yeah. So yeah, I think that the Lakers would be the most likely target, and they could. I mean, essentially, if you're Golden State, I think you got to be thinking about what happens if you don't keep Durant, and like,
yeah,
you need more young pieces
for sure.
Obviously, with Beans, you know, the flip side of Beans so good is that you don't get as many young assets anymore. You don't get to draft quite as well. And they have had some luck with some of their younger guys. But I think, yeah, like getting him for a return of, I don't know, Hart and Ingram and maybe a second rounder even.
Would be
money well spent.
For sure.
Especially for how low that contract is. And they might even be able to, if you know, obviously to make the money match, get a couple of, you know, less ideal contracts off their books.
That'd be interesting. That's an interesting take. They would be in a good position. They might also just want to win that championship more than anything, though.
I think they want to win the championship more than anything, though. But I think, though, if you're thinking long term,
yeah,
you have this piece that is like, I mean, with how he looks right now,
great. As,
yeah, and, you know, before he has another injury or something, you could sell very high and, like, you're not really out too much. You know, you still are the favorite to win a championship, and you can think towards the future.
What about Gortat, Avery in a second?
Done.
For DeMarcus.
Done.
guys, that was a good take. Coming up after this, we're going to be recapping the victory against the Spurs. But first, if you're following multiple Locked On podcasts, you're just tired of checking on two dang accounts, check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It's all the shows aggregated into one. It's great during games, breaking news, you get local perspective. On Instagram, you get longer pieces just because of the stories feature. So it's nice for quick hits and whatnot. Check out Locked On Net on both Twitter and Instagram.
All right, so we
broke the streak.
Yeah, we broke our losing streak finally with a nice little performance over the Spurs. Clips winning that one 103-95. You know, we were missing some guys. We were missing Lou. We were missing Gallo.
We're on a skid.
Yeah, it seemed like we were kind of just free falling there for a little while.
We were close.
It was a little unsettling.
Yeah.
We managed to sneak back into that 8 spot. Woo. Still in the playoff hunt.
Too dang right.
And, I don't know. It was it was nice to see.
Yeah, it was a good team effort. After, you know, we played really hard against the Warriors, but ultimately lost. So it was nice to see us bounce back with the same kind of effort.
Yeah, Tobias has continued to step up.
Dude, he played great in the Warriors game, in this game.
Yeah, he played great in both games. This one, he set a career-high assist rate with 9, finishing with 27, 9, and 9. Zero turnovers. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Trez and Beverly each added 18. Patrick Beverly had 12 boards, 5 assists, and 4 steals.
Ooh, doing everything.
A little bit of everything. Avery Bradley had 15, which is a really solid offensive showing from Avery Bradley.
Great, AB.
And Motley added 10 off the bench.
Dude, it was a good all-around effort. San Antonio Aldridge just killed us, as always, with 30 and 14. Rudy Gay had 19. No one else had over 12. DeRozan went 4 of 16. Huge help to us.
Yeah, it's interesting because we were talking about Shea not having that great of a game. He actually had really pretty similar numbers to DeRozan. So Shea didn't have a great game. He played about 38 minutes, so just shy of 40, but he went 3 of 15. He was able to add 4 boards and 3 assists, albeit with 3 turnovers.
Yeah.
you know, he's definitely going to be up and down his rookie year, but I thought it was spooky how eerily similar DeRozan's numbers are.
Yeah.
So DeRozan went 8-7-3 with 4 turnovers, and Shea went 7-4-3 with only 3 turnovers.
Ooh.
spooky.
Very spooky.
That's what I was saying. Kind of like a, I feel like it was an out of character night for both of them, but I guess that's what I was trying to justify at the top of the podcast, is I feel like even when Shea is shooting kind of average, you know, those numbers are closer to something like 17-4-3.
Yeah, for sure. We actually won the first quarter 38-26 in this game, and then cumulatively lost the rest of the game 65-69. Lost the second by 7, tied the third, and won the fourth by 1. It was really nice to see us build a lead and then kind of have an answer for anything the Spurs were throwing back at us.
Yeah, we haven't really seen that, I feel like, for a while. No. We haven't seen like a, you know,
getting out. Not the last 6 games.
Yeah, we haven't really seen like getting out and kind of establishing a comfortable lead.
And then just and not staving them, just kind of keeping them at bay.
Exactly. And like you don't necessarily have to pour it on, but it's nice to not have to constantly be digging yourself out of holes.
Constantly
having to fight your way out of a corner.
The starting lineup, as we mentioned in the previous segment, was Shea, Bev, AB, Tobias, and Trez. Gortat only got 6 minutes of play.
Yeah, I'm, you know, like we said, I'm still not sure what's going on with that.
Which is also kind of concerning. We got out-rebounded 51-41.
Yeah, another rebounding presence miss was Mike Scott, who was a DNP for this game.
Yeah, he went 1 of 3 against the Warriors, too. So I think he just might be, he might just be out.
You think so?
I think he's just in the doghouse for until he has a game like he did against the Hawks.
Yeah.
Where it just randomly comes through. I think he's kind of on the outs.
Yeah.
And it seems like it might be justified. Like, we're not necessarily, the way he was playing, it's not crazy to me to take his minutes away.
Definitely. I could see him going, if we were to move him at the deadline, to somewhere like maybe the Rockets. They could really use his defense on the second unit.
They took Austin,
and they took Austin, and you know, when the 3-point shots are there, obviously he's a great extra compliment, and he still will shoot. I mean, even in this slump, he's still shooting like 33%. So it's, you know, it's not awful.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
Not great, but it's like
he's just not doing anything to really make me want him to have more minutes. It's like not like Ty Wallace, where you're like, dude,
agreed.
This dude needs more minutes.
And I don't really see him having much of a future probably beyond this season.
With the Clippers.
Yeah.
I was like, in general?
Dang. No. I don't think that he's over.
That'd be so funny. So we won fast break points 19-6. We won points in the paint 44-38. We won free throws 24-17. Turnovers 11-18. Points off of turnovers. This was a complete victory.
Yeah.
Like, we did everything we were supposed to do.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Eat that, you stats nerds.
Eat that, nerds. Tobias had the game of the season for him, I think.
Yeah.
He didn't have to create off the dribble too much, which I think led to him having a great game.
Yeah.
They didn't force him into ISO stuff, which we know isn't his thing.
Yeah.
LA Clippers film room had a great thing on this.
He has he's developed his handle, and I think it's gotten a little bit better every year. It's just still not quite at the point where
you can just be like, go.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked confident. Defensive ratings were great for this game, which isn't, you know, a tell-all.
Mm-hmm.
But in a game like this, it's nice. Beverly posted an 86. Ty Wall had an 85. 7 guys were below 100 for defensive rating.
That's really solid.
Which defensive rating, if the line is 100, if you're on the court, you want it to be below 100.
Yeah.
So that's how many points they're going to score. For those of you who don't know. The bench really struggled without Lou.
Yes.
Which is not good.
Yeah, so the bench got outscored 18-26. That's got to be one of our lowest scoring bench performances all season. Despite they shot 50% from 3 and 46% overall, and they got out-assisted and out-rebounded. So not great. I mean, the Spurs, though, will always have at least an average bench.
For sure.
Just due to the way that they construct their teams. So to not it's fine, I guess, that we weren't dumping on them, but to not even, like, match them, I think is maybe a little bit troubling. But, you know, what are you going to do when you have 2 marquee players out?
I was going to say, I think a lot of that is just, like, not floundering because that has a negative connotation to it, but just trying to figure out what to do when our 2 biggest offensive contributors of the year are gone.
Yeah, when you have 2 players that average 20 points a game out.
And it's almost harder because losing 2 starters sucks, but Lou also plays like the quasi-starter amount of minutes.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's an even
different
thing
to tinker
with.
In my mind, it is a loss of 2 starters.
Yeah, for sure, production-wise. So Trez started. He guarded LaMarcus for 41 possessions. LaMarcus put up 23 points on 83% shooting. Bummed to see Tau only got around 7 minutes. We have 3 games and 4 nights this next week.
Yeah.
And 4 of our 5 starters played 38 minutes or more in this game.
Yeah.
The minutes managing is going to be interesting from Doc. I mentioned the Trez thing because I'm not sure if we're going to see Trez starting for
the load is going to be heavier. You know, like the load for every player is going to be heavier. Their minutes are going to be higher than you would like them to be. But ideally, you know, this isn't a stretch for more than, let's say, 2 weeks where, like, this is going to be the case.
Yeah, for sure. Great win overall. Do you want to get into what Doc talked to about?
Oh, yeah. So there was an interesting just clip I saw on Reddit of the locker room after. And, you know, it was like the mood was really great. Tobias was high-fiving everybody.
Yeah.
And Doc got in and he thanked everybody who got on the court for their contribution to the victory. He applauded them on their defensive effort. And then he said something kind of bizarre that he mentioned that there was no drama this game. Everybody just doing their job. And I guess it makes, like, it begs the question, is there a drama issue on the current Clippers squad?
So what I think he meant by drama was that I think he maybe meant game-wise. There was we're yelling at each other because we're not getting screens.
Yeah.
I think it was maybe more dictated about gameplay.
Okay.
I don't want it to be about the vibes
yeah.
in the locker room. That would suck. I can't imagine guys are frustrated for sure.
I know, that's
frustration is different than drama, though.
Yeah. Yeah,
I will say.
I mean, drama, conflict. I feel like conflict does. Can come out of a place of irritation, and I think that you're destined to have more conflict scenarios when you're going like on these stretches where you're 0-4 and 0-5.
Let's do the freshies, but let's get into your hot take about Gallo right after this break. Cool.
All right. Cool. So
hit us with this take, dude.
All right, guys, I got one for you.
Oof.
Get ready for this.
I don't know if I wasn't ready for this one when I read it.
Gallo isn't even injured. They're putting him on the shelf before a trade.
This is a take. This is not...
I think that there's a strong possibility...
That we're moving on from the meatball?
That we could be moving on from the spicy meatball.
And this is just based off of his play.
Here's the thing. His play has been incredible. This has been the healthiest stretch of games he's ever played.
Facts.
The back spasm might have been a real thing.
Ooh.
Might have. But I think more than anything, he might have in practice been saying something was sore and they say, okay, we're going to shut it down because he's a much more attractive asset if he's not on the injury list.
It's true. I don't like this take.
I mean,
it's a good take.
I don't like it.
It's interesting.
I don't like it, but it does make things very, very interesting.
Man, so we might move Gallo. Well, maybe. We have absolutely no idea.
We have no clue, but I could see, I mean, there's just a lot of teams who would be in need of a Gallo. I mean, the 76ers really jump out in my mind.
Yep. Celtics.
Celtics, possibly. Yeah, that would be
another shooter.
That would be a great fit. I don't see them moving him to someone in the West.
No, I hope not.
I don't really know who would be able to give us enough. Maybe we could put together something with the Suns.
Oh,
for picks.
Suns and Gallo and Milos.
Yeah, for I don't know, Oubre and picks and maybe who do they have at the backup center?
I don't know.
Rashawn Holmes.
He's good. People have talked about him coming. People want him on the Clippers.
Yeah,
that could be something to keep an eye on if he doesn't play in these next games.
It's just kind of weird because there's no real timeline for his return.
Yeah,
this is a wholly wild speculation, and it's just something that's fun to talk about. But I mean, if I'm the logo. You know, okay. I'm thinking two steps ahead.
Yeah,
I'm looking obviously. I'm looking at the body of work of Gallo's career, which is incredible.
You're looking at net.
I'm looking at net. And the thing is like his body of work is incredible. Give him that. He deserves to be an all-star this year.
Sure.
But, you know, the past would not indicate that you're going to get a whole lot of healthy seasons.
Sustainable production.
And I think that the most that you could ever get in a trade for him probably comes at a trade deadline for a team that is desperate to make a deep run in the playoffs.
I'd agree with that.
You're not going to get that kind of offer for him
at
the
end
summer.
Of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's so many.
In the summer, you're like hopefully trading salary for a net neutral to possibly slightly better deal. But I think the best option for moving him would be now before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him go. I love him on the Clippers, but
if we got the best return,
I mean, it is just long term the best return. And if you want to think about contract space, or if you want to toss our hat back in the ring of two potential maxes, Gallo is not on this roster.
Absolutely not. Damn, I'm rocked from that take.
That's a wild one.
Whoa. All right, so we got a couple of fresh boys to discuss this week on the Freshies, which feels good. Robinson and Motley seem to be getting more minutes due to Gallo and Lou being out.
Yeah.
They looked pretty fun together.
Definitely.
They look like they've definitely meshed in the G League.
They definitely did. There was a great little dime that Robinson threw to Motley where he drove to the basket, and like it looked like he was going hard for the rim. He like double clutched around a defender and then just kicked it out to Motley.
Motley was waiting, dude. Let's get into that lineup.
Yeah, so there was a pretty fresh lineup that got some decent playing time against the Warriors. It posted the best plus minus of any lineup in that outing. And that lineup was Shea, Jerome, Ty Wallace, Zendarius Thornwell, and Jonathan Motley.
That's a goofy lineup, but I love it.
It's a small lineup.
It's a lineup I didn't think we'd ever see this year.
It's a small lineup, but it's a strong lineup. So they, in 4 minutes of play, they managed to put together 14-3-2 with only a single foul committed.
Not bad. If there's one thing we love, it's small sample size.
I love a small sample size. This exact combination did not play at all in that game against the Spurs, mm-mm, which does surprise me.
Yeah.
But it's something that I think I would like to see more of. Maybe I'm hoping that maybe, you know, Doc penciled it in on his clipboard. Maybe those guys are going to be doing a little extra practice together.
That would be sweet. Since we're not going to see the meatball lineup, it's nice to see Motley out there. He's got great energy.
He really does.
It's nice when someone's energy can translate from a lower level to the NBA. Because sometimes I think there's effort guys who are like, great, oh, you're really psyched up, but you're not doing anything.
Yeah, definitely.
For a skinny guy, he can bang, too.
He can, and, you know, despite his smaller stature, he does have a long wingspan.
Huge wingspan.
And, yeah, he is active. I think that the more he plays, like, he'll develop better defensive instincts at the NBA level. Obviously, yeah, you know, he was really good in the G League, but I think, you know, a portion of that is it's kind of the same thing as college, where your sheer athleticism will kind of overpower a lot of other guys.
Yeah.
And he won't have that advantage in the NBA, but I do think, like, as his, you know, defensive IQ is elevated, he's only going to be a better player.
Yeah. Jerome looks a little shaky still, but that makes total sense.
Yeah, I thought that first game was strong. In that outing, his second game back against the Spurs, he did not have that great of a game. He finished with no points in 7 minutes, 0-of-2 from the field.
Yeah.
But, once again, that's a very small sample size. Very small sample size. So,
yeah.
Not too much I can say about it.
We're happy to see him get minutes. We're going to see a lot more of him, I think, especially we got three games against teams that are 500 or worse coming up.
Yeah.
We go Mavs, Heat, Bulls. So we could see some more time from these two guys. Guys, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah,
This has been Locked On Clippers. We're here Monday through Friday. Please like, rate, subscribe, whatever you got to do on iTunes.
Definitely.
Leave us a review. We'll shout you out if it's a good one or a bad one if it's funny enough.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we're going to have a game preview of the matchup against
the Mavericks.
And we're going to be doing some Twitter Tuesdays. We might stream that game. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see what's happening.
Talking some NBA talk, guys. I've been positive Chuck Mockler.
I've been William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.